You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
I'm Drew Leiter.
And I'm Cletus Jacobs.
And welcome to episode 127 of the Earth Station DCU. Tonight, we're going to talk Heroes in Crisis number 3, Action Comics 1005, Aquaman Justice League Drowned Earth number 1, Justice League Odyssey number 3, Flash number 59, Terrifics number 10, Wonder Woman number 59, Supergirl season 4 episode 8, Bunker Hill, Arrow season 7 episode 8, Unmasked, Legends Tomorrow season 4 episode 7, Hell No, Dolly, Flash, Season 5, Episode 8, What's Past is Prologue, Black Lightning, Season 2, Episode 8, The Book of Rebellion, Chapter 1, Exodus, and Titans, Season 1, Episode 8, Donna Troy. But before we get into that, let's talk some DC news. Alright, Cletus, first up for DC news. Plastic Man movie is in the works at Warner Brothers. Up-and-coming screenwriter Amanda Idico has been hired to pen the script for what will be a comedic action adventure for Warner Brothers. Bob Shave, the former co-founder of the New Line, will executive produce.
If this movie actually gets made, I'll be very excited, obviously. But, I mean, as with how many other DC projects are technically in the works as well, remember that in theory, Greg Berlanti, the guy behind the whole Arrowverse, is doing a Booster Gold movie. And is that actually happening? Probably not. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. But if it happens,
I will be very excited. Don't get me wrong. Like, I would love for that to happen, but I don't want to get my hopes up until the movie's actually for sure getting made.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but it is a cool announcement.
Yeah. The fact that they're even considering Plastic Man for a movie is very exciting.
Final thing I have for DC News, which I'm sure everybody knows about, the Elseworld crossover starts tonight on The Flash, and I'm so excited to see it.
I am still confused at why they changed technically the order of the shows. It doesn't really matter because it is the crossover episodes, but I still don't understand why tonight is technically The Flash. Like, I don't get it.
I don't know either. I'm not going to gripe about it that much. I'm just excited that it's finally here.
Oh, yeah, no, me too. What I'm curious, when we get the actual Supergirl, so to speak, episode, if it's going to have more to do with her Earth, and maybe that's why they moved the order around.
That's a possibility. It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah.
All right, well, that wraps up DC News for this week. Let's take a short break, and when we come back, we'll do our comics talk.
Welcome to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. I am your host, The Monster.
We are Venom.
I got my own parasite.
Parasite?
Sorry, Venom. I meant symbiote.
That's better. What do you do for fun around here?
I want to do a podcast with you.
What the hell is a podcast anyway?
Well, it's a weekly show where I talk about the latest news in sci-fi, movies, and TV.
You're such a nerd. Now I'm a loser on two planets.
The Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast is part of the ESO Network. It's sci-fi from a certain point of view.
And we're back. But before we get into this week's comic books talk, we gotta let you know, there's gonna be spoilers.
We got spoilers.
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 We got spoilers.
Spoilers.
For you. We got spoilers.
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 We've got spoilers.
Spoilers.
For you. For you.
All right, let's talk Heroes in Crisis number 3. The mystery thickens. We know now that Booster Gold did not do it. Not that
Which is a relief. Honestly, I was a little relieved because I was kind of worried that he did do it.
I know he had us wondering, didn't he?
Yeah, I'm wondering what's going on because it doesn't. I don't think it's really Harley Quinn either.
I don't think it's Harley Quinn either. In this issue, we see that it focuses on three characters. It focuses on Booster Gold, it focuses on Wally, and it focuses on Lagoon Boy. And we see it's actually was Booster's first day there. And we know why he's there. It's because of that time-traveling thing where he went back in time and then messed up Batman's timeline trying to save Bruce Wayne's parents from being killed and all that. It kind of messed him up.
Yeah, just a little bit.
And I thought it was funny that he could do anything and then he ends up just talking to himself.
It gets pretty dark, though. Like, at first, like, I thought it was pretty funny, too, that he ultimately just talks to himself. But then, like, you can really see there's a lot of, like, self-contempt going on there.
Oh, yeah. And the fact that Booster gets in a scuffle with himself, that does not surprise me at all.
No. This was another good issue. And what I'm wondering is, did we see what really happened? Or did we see what Booster... Remember, Booster the whole time thought it was Harley.
Yeah.
Well, I'm wondering if we saw what happened, or if we're just seeing Booster's version of the events, and then are we going to see Harley's version of the events, where she sees Booster attacking everybody?
I don't know.
I almost wonder if that's what issue 4 will be. We'll get those flashbacks, but from Harley's point of view.
That would be interesting. I wasn't sure if this was all from Booster's point of view, because we saw the Lagoon Boy thing, where he kept getting shot by the laser. And one of the things he talked about was when he thought he was cured, he'd be laughing at the end. Well, when he gets shot, we see him laughing.
Yep.
And then the Wally thing, he was just obsessing over his previous life. But we didn't really, we saw, the thing is, we see them getting shot. So whoever took them out was shooting them. And I don't see that being Harley Quinn. We saw her with her hammer.
We see her, in theory, murder Wally.
I don't think she actually murdered him. I think she was just standing over him.
Well, but, no, you see him get hit in the head with her. The implication at the end is that it's Harley that kills Wally with her hammer. Is that what actually happened, though, is the question.
Yeah, I doubt it. All right. So we get to the end of this issue, and all of a sudden they introduce a bunch of characters. And I'm wondering if one of them could be the killer. We get Commander Steel, Gunfire, Tattooed Man, Narc, Red Devil, Protector, Poison Ivy, Solstice, and Nemesis. And some of these characters are kind of, what I want to say, obscure.
Yeah. Yeah, most of them, I would say. So we know. I mean, we only know who Steel is because of Legends. I would say for most people, like I knew he was a character before that, but I would be lying if I said I read more than like two or three comics that he was in.
Yeah, and we've seen Tattooed Man in Batman, I believe it was.
Yes.
But some of these other characters, not so familiar with. I mean, we know who Poison Ivy is, obviously.
Right, right.
I don't think it's her either, but you know, I don't know who it is. I don't know if Tom King was giving us a list of characters he wanted us to look at, or you know,
I think those are more victims. I think I would say unless one of them is the killer, all of those are also supposed to have died.
I don't know, but this is really intriguing, the mystery of what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree.
All right, well, let's move on to our next title for this week. Action Comics 1005. Dial H for Hero. You know that used to be a comic back in the day?
Yeah, they had a brief run of it not that long ago also.
Oh, did they?
I think it was still in the new... I'm pretty sure it was part of the new 52 run. It was... brief. It didn't last very long.
Okay. It's not a comic I ever read, but I had heard of it before. So
I was a little bummed that we didn't get anything out of it, that it ended up just kind of being a dud.
Yeah. I was actually surprised this is in the issue. I was like, ooh, Dial H for Hero. I thought maybe they were bringing it back, but apparently they're not. It was cool to see the question, though.
Yes. Yeah, that is cool. I'm curious to see what they do with him.
I don't know. It felt like the question was, to me anyways, it felt like the question is going to be uncovering the mystery of who the Red Cloud is, even though now we know as the audience now by the end of this issue. Mm. But I just got the feeling that he's going to be the one to figure it out and Superman's not.
That would not surprise me. What do you think of the reveal since we already mentioned it?
You know, it wasn't really that surprising. I mean, I was like, oh, okay. I wasn't expecting it to be her, but it made sense.
I get that that Bendis is trying to make it seem like it wasn't her in some of the earlier issues, but she was acting like really naive for somebody who was secretly the head of a super criminal organization.
Now, I didn't think Red Cloud was the head of the organization. I just thought she was some weapon they were using. I thought there was somebody else who was the mysterious head.
I thought she was supposed to be everything I saw was that it seemed like the Red Cloud was the leader.
See, I didn't get that impression. Maybe I'm mistaken.
And I mean, it's possible they were using her just as the attack dog, but I was thinking that they had all these roles in part because the Red Cloud was implementing all these roles.
I didn't think so. I thought she was just the, like you said, the attack dog.
We'll see. I mean, I think it's part of, well, I don't know that I shouldn't say necessarily head, but like sort of the one enforcing the rules. It seems like it's kind of a joint rule thing, like all of the crime bosses working together. And if you don't fall in line, the Red Cloud will come for you. But I kind of was under the impression that the Red Cloud was the one introducing and enforcing the idea, if that makes sense.
See, I thought the dude that was sitting in that tank, he was in charge, but he was answering to somebody else.
Yeah, I thought I thought that person he was answering to was the Red Cloud.
See, I didn't think he was answering to the Red Cloud, but was using the Red Cloud as an attack dog. See, I think they haven't revealed who this person is yet. That's the impression I got.
You might be right. I could be wrong. I honestly don't know.
Now, another thing that happens in this issue is that the deputy fire chief calls Clark Kent. And basically tells him that the mayor told her to lay off the arson fire investigations. And she wanted Clark to look into it. So the mayor's office is wrapped up in this somehow. Or at least the mayor himself.
Yeah.
So there's definitely some sort of conspiracy going on.
Clearly. Clearly several conspiracies. Several layers of conspiracy going on right now.
Yes. And perfect for the question.
I agree. Yes. It's so true.
So my gut's telling me the question is going to be figuring all this out, and then Superman's going to be doing the heavy hitting on stopping these guys. At least that's how I see it. All right, let's move on to our next title for this week. Aquaman Justice League Drowned Earth #1. Gave this the old thumbs up. This was a great finale, I thought, to the Drowned Earth storyline because we finally brought Aquaman front and center.
It's pretty good, but I would still recommend the Throne of Atlantis over this one if I was recommending a Aquaman event, just because I thought the Throne of Atlantis was a lot clearer on what's going on. There were times where I was getting a little confused, not because overall the story is fairly easy to follow, but there's a lot of like side stuff that's convoluted and doesn't add a whole lot to the story.
See, I thought this issue was more focused.
I agree, but it still highlighted how much other like superfluous stuff was going on earlier. Ultimately, all that really mattered was that these guys had come to Earth, that they were tricked, and that things went bad. But then you got all this other stuff. I think throwing in the Legion of Doom actually added a layer that made it a little more confusing than it needed to be. I appreciate that they're trying to tie in the ongoing threat of the Legion. Don't get me wrong, but like, I thought it distracted a little bit from the main story. And then you finally have like Aquaman learning the lesson, which we talked about last time, that it was odd that Aquaman seemed to be going along with we should just kill them. So we see him, you know, realize that that's not the right path. And then it doesn't matter anyway, because almost all of them die, except one, I guess, didn't die. I thought she did. And then we saw her again at the end. I don't know. It seemed like it was more convoluted than it needed to be. I thought that it could have been a little more streamlined. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yeah, that's, I think part of it was Black Manta, he betrayed the sea gods and ended up getting some of them killed, but
Right. No, I get that. I get how they died. I understand what happened in the. But like, there's just so many layers to this. It's hard to boil it down and say what really was the story of this. Was it these new gods attacking? Was it the Legion taking over and doing this? Was it the Death Kraken? Is it what happened with Poseidon? Is it like there were a ton of layers in this, and it didn't really wrap itself up very neatly. I didn't think, at least.
Okay, I'm going to disagree with you because I thought it did. I didn't think this issue, I thought, tied it up fairly well for me. It made more sense to the story for me because it stayed focused on Aquaman and what was going on with the sea gods. I mean, we only briefly saw Batman show up in this. And the Legion of Doom, the only thing they basically did was steal the totality from the Justice League headquarters. The Hall of Justice.
Well, but you also have to factor in Cheetah and Black Manta play an integral role in this story. They're the whole reason behind the graveyard of the gods. And the whole reason why Aquaman loses his powers is because of the Legion's involvement. Yeah. I think that's what I'm saying. I feel like the story could have been a little... I am not confused as to what happened with the story. I just think the story could have been... I think it would have been, to me, a more satisfying conflict if it had truly just been Aquaman versus these, in the Justice League, of course, versus these sea gods, as opposed to Aquaman versus the sea gods and also the Legion of Doom. Because ultimately, this conflict ultimately doesn't end up, like if you're summarizing what this fight was, ultimately it's Aquaman versus Black Manta, which is not what the story is for the vast majority of the story. And then right at the end, it makes sense. Don't get me wrong. I get why it's Aquaman versus Black Manta. That's fine. I get that. But I think it works better if you make it the whole story is Aquaman versus Black Manta or Aquaman versus these sea gods, but not sort of both, but then not really both. That's all I'm saying.
All right. So we get to the end of this issue. Aquaman stops the Death Kraken and is basically lost. The Justice League honor him with a statue, and Mira takes his place on the Justice League. So, this basically sets up the new storyline that's going to be in the next Aquaman issue, where the new writers and artists are taking over, and he's... I remember seeing the preview where he's, like, stuck on this island.
I'm really curious to see what they're going to do with the title, because the implication, I thought, was that he might even be on a different world, but... from the, like you're talking about, I'm not sure that that's the case. But didn't it seem to you like he was going to end up like on some other Earth?
I didn't think it was another Earth, but that's possible. I just thought it was some secluded island somewhere.
Not from the preview. I agree with you. Based on the preview, it seems like he's still on Earth. But from the end, like when he's going to defeat the Death Kraken, like they're pulling that from another dimension.
Oh,
and
the
whole thing is that they are from other worlds, not necessarily, I guess, another universe, but, you know, they're from other worlds within the same universe or other universes. And so I just thought, okay, what if he pops up on a different planet? And I don't know. I don't know that doesn't seem to be the case, but that's what it kind of looked like based on the end of this story. And then looking at that preview, I was like, oh, maybe not. Okay.
Okay. I could see your point there.
It would make sense. Like this whole thing was about sea gods from other worlds. It would make sense for then Aquaman to end up on a different world.
Yeah, that would be interesting. We'll have to see what it actually is when it comes out. All right, let's move on to our next title for this week. Justice League Odyssey number 3. Gave it the thumbs up. I think this story continues to be intriguing. And Darkseid is definitely up to something. I was going to ask you, do you think he's manipulating this whole thing?
Oh, I don't think there's any question that he is.
Do you think he planted the Cyborg and Starfire and who am I missing? Oh, Azrael. Do you think he planted them as the gods there and then brought them here to do his whole plan? Do you think he's behind the whole thing?
I don't think he's the one that started it, no. But I do think he knew something was up and has then since manipulated events to achieve whatever it is that he's trying to achieve. I think there's definitely some time travel stuff going on with this. I'm not going to lie to you.
I was wondering, you know, how they became the gods there, but I'm really interested in how it's going to play out. Yeah. And I'm really curious to see what Darkseid's up to.
Yeah, that's one thing that's been, to me, the most intriguing thing is that they're playing it close to the chest on what Darkseid is actually wanting out of this.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. And it's just, this, it's an interesting version of Darkseid, because I don't think I've ever read him as like this sort of behind the scenes manipulator. Like, he's always much more of a upfront threat.
Yeah. So it's really interesting.
I mean, definitely, we've definitely read comics where he's been like a slowly emerging threat for sure, but never sort of like this almost puppeteer, I guess. I don't know. It's interesting. It's just very interesting seeing it from this without direct, not a lot of direct conflict from him.
All right, well, let's move on to our next title for this week, Flash number 59. Curious what you thought of this one, because I gave it the old thumbs up. I thought it was better than the last issue.
I would agree. I liked it more. I still, I don't understand the way that this, the writer continues to write Barry as just an idiot. Like, we see already the direct ramifications of him just being like, yeah, whatever, I don't need to chase after those thieves. And they immediately show up. I like that. I like that the author isn't just forgetting about them, but to me, it also highlights how unbelievably dumb it is for Barry to just ignore that.
I agree with you, because Barry would go after them. He would have gone after them last issue. We know that. And yeah.
And then also, and then this issue, I get on one level why he left, because he needed to go address whoever had held the strength force. But also, he just saw literally Gorilla City just got wiped out, and all that's left is a few scientists. I wouldn't leave feeling confident that that place is safe.
No. And then, so that was one of my questions for you. Is this the end of Gorilla City then, killing all those remaining scientists? Because that's basically what the Gemini twins did.
That kind of seemed to be the implication, but it was surprising, because it felt like they were going for, I'm not going to lie, it felt like they were stealing a little bit from Marvel. It felt like they were going a little with the Wakanda route with this secret, oh, actually, we're actually very technologically advanced inside this secret city. So I was like, okay, well, that's kind of interesting. Are they going to do something with that? And then they're like, oh no, they're just going to kill the scientists too.
Yeah.
It's very weird. It's just, it's very consistent. This whole thing, like, this writer throws in these ideas, like, okay, that's kind of weird, that's kind of interesting. And then just like focuses on like the dumb thing that he comes up with instead.
So yeah, at the end of this issue, the Flash goes to the Corto Maltese, where we see the avatar of the speed for the strength force.
And I wonder, I'm thinking like we finally saw sort of the end game of these forces, is that he seems to be trying to create, I bet you he's trying to create heroes that have each of these.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I think this strength force person is going to be an antagonist initially, but I bet you good money that he turns them into a hero.
I wouldn't be surprised.
And they will be forgotten by the next time the next writer takes over.
Probably. I have to agree with you on that one. But we'll see. Hopefully that new writer's coming soon.
Well, and I'm curious too, because we saw, like I said, I'm thinking that they're kind of showing their hand a little bit with this basically team of four. Clearly the Flash was one of them. We just saw who the strength force person is. But the Still Force, they had clearly like a logo and everything, but like, why would it not be the turtle? Like, come on. It should be the turtle.
Yeah. Agree with you there. All right, let's move on to our next title for this week. Terrifics number 10. Gave this the old thumbs up. Of course, last issue we found out Dr. Dredd was Java. And as we learned in this issue, the whole reason he's Dr. Dredd is because he's in love with Sapphire. And he wanted to get Mason out of the picture.
This is still not answering my questions I have in terms of like how he has been able to learn all of this stuff. Like, they've clearly emphasized that he was kind of a dumb caveman, and he's they answer the fact that yes, he is using Dr. Dredd as, it was meant to be like a distraction, like a fake that he's now clearly sort of become. But it doesn't answer the question of how he learned to do all of the stuff that Dr. Dredd was doing in the first place.
I don't know. I still like it.
Oh, no, no. I like it, too. I'm just saying, like, my biggest burning question, remember we read that one, I think it was in the annual?
Yeah, it was in the annual.
Where it kind of gave his backstory, and then they gave a little bit more here. I'm like, yes, but my biggest question still remains unanswered, guys. We'll see. But no, I'm intrigued to see where we're going to go. It looks like we're having a little bit of a fake out in terms of the team breaking up. Of course, they're not breaking up. They'll be back together in an issue or two. But I love it because that's so Silver Aged for them to do.
Yep. The team is disbanded. The only one that wants to continue is Lena. Plastic Man just disappears. Rex is like, I'm done. You know, I don't have any powers. I just want to be with my girlfriend. And Mr. Terrific just wants to go back to messing with his tech. So, that's where we're leaving this issue. And, of course, Dr. Dredd got away. And I don't know if we're done with Tom Strong and his family. But my gut tells me we are. It was a fun issue.
Oh, I agree. No, don't misunderstand me. I enjoyed this issue. I'm merely voicing my frustration that my biggest question about Dr. Dredd remains unanswered.
And it may remain unanswered for quite a while.
I don't see the thing. My concern, the reason I'm a little frustrated is because I almost think it's not going to get answered. I feel like in their mind, they've answered it. Like, well, he was a caveman. He got brought to the future and he fell in love with the girl and he defended this whole persona in order to do it. And they're just going to leave out the part where he taught himself how to use all the technology.
They're going to leave it up to your imagination.
Cletus. I think so. Honestly, I think that's what they're going to do, which is unsatisfying for me.
I'm okay with it. I've seen sillier things.
It's not the most ridiculous thing in that comic for sure. I'm hoping we're going to get at some point a Plastic Man story that has to do with his talk. They keep hinting at it a little bit. And it feels like now would be a good time where they all kind of are going off on their own to take care of their own problems, that maybe we'll see something with that.
Yeah, that'd be fun. All right, let's move on to our final issue for this week. Wonder Woman number 58. Gave it the old thumbs up. Ares wants to help Diana, but his ideals and her ideals differ. Ares has picked a side while Diana wants to keep innocence safe, no matter what side they're on. Very interesting, huh? Because when we go into the story, Ares seems very helpful, but then when he kills that village, that's like, dang.
Yeah. I'm curious to see what they do with this. Where is he going to kind of learn? Or is he going to be antagonistic, but in a different way? Where it's like, usually Ares has always been just like straight up evil, right? Like he wants to create war just for the sake of war. Like it's just nothing more than that. And so here you could potentially, they're setting up Ares as an ongoing antagonist, but is one who actually thinks he's doing the right thing. And that's, I think, honestly, a lot more interesting.
It is interesting. And he's already picked who he wants to back. Like, he, you know, he's going to be fighting with these people. Which, it makes kind of sense. We've seen in the past where Wonder Woman's fought for America. For the United States. It's not that hard to see Ares picking a side. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but it will be. But, of course, Diana's changed since those times. And it'll be interesting to see how this plays out with Ares. The other thing I want to talk about is the boy that's taking the magical creatures to a refuge of other magical creatures. I thought that was interesting. They all just want to go back to Olympus, and we know that the Upside Down Man's there taking over Olympus. Because we saw that in the Witching Hour storyline. And I was very surprised that they had Steve Trevor as a captive.
And then they hint ultimately that the who's behind gathering all of these magical creatures is definitely a woman. It's Cersei, right? We're pretty convinced it's Cersei, right?
Yeah,
is that just me?
Okay. That's who I thought it might be. Who else would they be answering to?
I that's all I've got.
Unless it's one of the other Greek gods for some reason, but I doubt it.
Well, I mean, we know obviously that she's magical, and she, from the Odyssey, that her big thing was turning people into animals, right? And so, I don't know, it's just all, like, all of the warning signs, so to speak, the red flags seem to be pointing towards her.
Yeah.
But we could be wrong. We could be falling for the red herring, and it'll be somebody completely different.
That could be.
Because they could also be using Cersei, because they seem to be hinting that Cersei might be a villain for Justice League Dark, so I could see it not being her in this title in lieu of somebody else to save her for Justice League Dark. I don't know. Or maybe Justice League Dark was just setting up the status quo for Wonder Woman. I have no idea.
I don't either. But you're right. It did seem like they were setting her up for Justice League Dark. So unless they're going to be playing in both, you know, both storylines, where Cersei's going to be causing problems for just Wonder Woman and then for the team too. It'll be interesting.
Yeah.
All right, well, that wraps up our comic books talk for this week. Let's take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk our CW shows.
Hello, podcast fans. My name is Chris Jones, and I'm here to tell you about the Nerd Bliss podcast. Now, of all the geek-oriented podcasts out there, we are definitely one of them. Yes, we talk about Star Trek and Star Wars and cosplay and Marvel and DC and the usual. But as geeks, we embrace anyone with very specialized knowledge, like triathletes or improv comedians or musicians. So we try to bring them in and let them share their geekiness with you to help broaden some horizons, and maybe you'll learn something. Maybe we'll learn something. You can find our entire catalog at nerdblisspodcast.com on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Player FM, and we are now proud to be a part of the ESO Network. Once again, we are the Nerd Bliss Podcast. Thank you, and pod bless.
And we're back. Let's talk Supergirl, Season 4, Episode 8, Bunker Hill. So Manchester Black discovers that Agent Liberty is Ben Lockwood and goes to his home to confront him.
I really liked those scenes there where they both knew what was going on, and it took a while for them to really kind of show their hand, so to speak. That was fun. I enjoyed those scenes.
Yeah, it was pretty good. And I like the fact that John kept interfering, trying to convince Manchester Black that there was a better way. But Manchester Black only had revenge in his eyes.
The focus on, I know right now, because Martian Manhunter is not using any violence, which is frustrating the hell out of me. It's like, it's the cheesiest way to basically be like, we don't want to pay for the special effects for him this season. But I get that then you have to basically exclusively use his psychic powers. But to me, I keep feeling like they're hinting at, like, if he keeps using them, then Manchester Black is going to be like, okay, I need something that can combat that. I don't know. I would just be very surprised if we went the whole season without Manchester actually getting his powers. It would just be odd to me to choose to not do that.
I'm wondering if he's going to get them or not, because they're still dragging it out.
The thing that makes me think they will is the metahuman experiments that Lena is doing.
Yeah, and I think we mentioned that last episode. All right, so Nia Noll have the ability to see future events. Thought that was pretty awesome. And we also found out she was an alien.
I was surprised when they revealed that, because I was like, why did they wait so long on that? Yeah, I don't know. That was weird. It's interesting, and I was a big fan of her powers and stuff because she was doing, because to me, I think I mentioned this at one point, I didn't really get why she was a character on the show. Like, she wasn't really doing anything.
Yeah, but
so I enjoyed this episode a lot for that, because I was like, oh, finally, like, she serves a purpose on this show.
Right, and I thought it was cool to see more of Brainiac 5 in this episode also. I found it interesting, the trio working together to solve the mystery of Nia's vision. And yeah. Also found it interesting that Brainiac knew her from the future.
Yeah, I actually really enjoyed that whole story. Like, he needed to get her to help, but it was like, all I can say is that we should go talk to her.
So, what'd you think about Supergirl being no longer part of the DEO?
Inevitable.
Yeah, I think we could see the writing on the wall for that one. And
I'm surprised it took as long as it did, to be honest.
The president was demanding that she reveal her secret identity. My question is, what makes them think she had a secret identity? How do they know she just wasn't Supergirl all the time?
That's sort of, that's generally the answer people give, like when people talk about why people can't figure out who Superman is because it doesn't even occur to them that he wouldn't stop being Superman. So I would agree that there it seems to be just a case of the show, everybody writing and watching the show knows she has a secret identity, and so they just sort of, I don't know, assume that people would assume that.
Because she could have easily said, I don't have a secret identity.
I'm Supergirl.
I'm Supergirl.
Or given her Kryptonian name.
Right. Of course, the other side of the coin, a lot of the D knows who she is. At least I've gotten that impression. And I wouldn't see why they wouldn't already know.
I mean, let's be real. I mean, I don't like... Secret identity focused storylines, I think, drive me nuts, especially with Superman and Supergirl, because they don't wear disguises. Like, especially on a show like Supergirl, like, she's obviously Kara Danvers. Like, it's inexplicable that people wouldn't immediately recognize her. But I can ignore it. I can ignore it when you don't call attention to it. And as soon as you start to call attention to it, then it's kind of like, come on, guys.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Do you feel like the president is going to pardon Agent Liberty?
Yes.
That's the feeling I got, too. And not only that, my gut is telling me that sometime in the future, the president is going to declare Supergirl an enemy of the state.
I can see that, but I wonder if it will be because of Supergirl's actions or because of Russia Girl's actions that we know is out there somewhere. I was actually a little bit surprised that we didn't see a tease with her at the end of this, considering it was the mid-season finale. I'm surprised we didn't get another reminder that she was out there.
Yeah, I'm surprised of that too. So I'm sure they have something up their sleeve. And then, of course, at the end of this episode, we got a special clip of something that we will wait until later to talk about. Let's move on to our next title for this week. Arrow Season 7, Episode 8, Unmasked. So Oliver is now working with Diana and the SCPD against the mayor's wishes. I think it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's the most logical way for... We know that Oliver's going to still be Green Arrow. It's still Arrow. Like, you can't not have him be on the show. It's the most logical way to do it. Just be like, yes, everybody knows I'm the Green Arrow, but I'm just going to operate now as basically a public hero, essentially.
Yeah, working with the police. I think that's cool. And even though the mayor's against it, you got Dinah and you've got Laurel backing, because Laurel's the DA right now, so they're all supporting Oliver on this. I think it's pretty cool.
I know Diggle, and I've been trying to figure out what this story with Diggle has been, because I like that they've been kind of giving him this story with Lila, but they haven't focused on it a ton to the point where it's distracting from the main story, which is good, because it's not doing that. But I've also been kind of curious where they've been going with it, and we can kind of start seeing it tie in now. We can kind of see maybe that's sort of the second half of the season storyline.
Yeah, I was curious about it too, and I'm just wondering what this plot is.
So we know that they're going to Diaz for info, which we know is going to go south probably. I love what they're doing with Diaz as a villain. They've really built him up to be a true like nemesis to the team.
Yes, and I just thought it was weird they had to go to Diaz to help him uncover this plot. What is Diaz going to offer for them?
Yeah, I don't know. He clearly knows something is up, though.
Yeah.
I really like... We've talked about this. I just really like what they've done with Arrow. They finally have done what we've asked them to do for a long time, which is split this show up into two separate arcs. I know they kind of did it last year, but it was just so messy last year. It didn't really work as well. And it feels like they've really kind of figured it out this season. And that the mid-season finale really felt like a... mid-season finale, like that was like the first story. We're done with that first story. When you come back next time, you're going to get a story that's been influenced by the events of the first half of the season, but is basically going to be a new plot.
Okay. We have to talk about Felicity Oliver. Felicity has definitely changed, and Oliver's not really sure how to deal with it. So, are they taking a break now? Are they going to get back together? Are they going to stay apart? What's going on?
Unless they're planning on writing Felicity off the show at the end of the season, which is possible. I'd be surprised, but it's unless they're planning on doing that, it's kind of just annoying to me. Like, when they finally got married, it was like, okay, we can be done with the drama of the will they get together or not, because it's over. They're together. It's done. And yet the show has found a way to bring that back. So, yeah, I don't know. Unless they're planning on having her truly go down that dark path, become a villain, and fall out with the team and leave the show, which I'd be interested to see. That would be an interesting story. Unless they're planning on doing that, I'm just going to be annoyed with the storyline, because why? We don't need this. We've gone through 6 seasons of that.
Yeah, it is going to be annoying the rest of the season. But let's jump into the future, because it sounds like in the future Felicity becomes a villain. In the future, we see William, Dinah, and Zoe seek out the Black Star, the last person Felicity talked to. Now, Black Star denies knowing what happened to Felicity, but after, you know, they kind of look in her office, they discover that she's still planning on going through with the bombing that I guess Felicity was wanting to do. What do you think about this future story here?
I am very intrigued. Yeah, clearly Felicity is at least in the gray area as a hero, or not here as a person. Like, maybe she's an anti-hero, because we don't know what's going on with the Glades either. We also got the hint that Wild Dog seems to be in charge. We got that one kind of in the present day. Dinah mentions, "Have you ever thought about running for office?" And then we see kind of the payoff of that in the future. He clearly seems to be running the Glades.
Yeah. Yeah, we got that hint.
So I'll be curious to see what's going on with that. And is there part of the story that we're not getting where, yes, clearly Felicity has gone rogue, but is there a reason that she's doing it that we don't know about yet?
Exactly. And where the heck is Oliver in the future? Is he dead?
That seems to be the implication I've got, is that he's dead.
Yeah, that's the implication I've gotten too. That'll be interesting to find out how that happened and how that fits into what's happened in the future. The other thing I thought was cool was we learned that Oliver came up with the Mark of 4, a symbol that represents the pillars of heroism, courage, compassion, selflessness, and loyalty.
That's not sound a ton like the Oliver that we've known for the past 6 seasons, which is kind of cool because it seems like maybe we're transitioning into more of a kinder Green Arrow that we've seen.
Yeah, I mean, now that he's working with the police, I can see that transformation happening.
Well, and not only that, but we can really see his time in prison, and when they talk about it in this episode, and that's what I think is really fascinating, is that it feels like they've laid the groundwork to explain why he would begin acting probably more in line with the Green Arrow that we know in the comics. I'm not talking about being lighthearted or anything like that, but just his general, you know, perspective on things. It makes a ton of sense for having him go through this experience in prison and realize, like, oh, you know, sending guys to prison isn't just this, you know, clear, easy solution, that there are still other issues that need to be resolved.
Yep, exactly. All right, let's get to the final bit of this episode. We find out who the new Green Arrow is, and it's the daughter of Robert Queen. They haven't told us her name yet, but I'm guessing it's Amiko Queen.
I was thinking that too.
So, you know, Oliver has another stepsister, and I think it's going to be interesting to find out who her mother is. We know it can't be...
Clearly not Moira.
Yeah, and we know it's not Shado either, because...
She's dead.
Yeah, she's dead. Well, yeah, number one, she's dead, but they kind of changed her story for... Yeah. The show, so
yeah,
but yeah, I thought that was really intriguing.
I'm wondering if they're going to be getting into a little bit of the secret life that Robert Queen had in Jeff Lemire's Green Arrow run. You know, that's where he learns that he has a Miko as a sister. It's that whole thing where he finds, like, oh my gosh, like, my dad didn't die. In the comic, his dad doesn't die like he thinks he does. But B, he's into this whole big, weird cult / conspiracy thing that's been going on for centuries. I'm wondering if they're going to be getting into some of that, to be honest with you.
If they do, it's going to be really interesting. And you know what? That could be what this conspiracy thing is with Argus.
Yeah.
So that could all tie together. It'll be interesting to see what they do in the second half of the season. All right, let's move on to our next episode for this week. Legends of Tomorrow, Season 4, Episode 7, Hell No Dolly. Good job, Constantine. You created your own flashpoint.
I was wondering, when they were going through all this, I was like, Barry has faced serious repercussions anytime he does something like this, and the Legends never seem to deal with anything like that. So I'm very intrigued to see, just based on the trailer that we got for next week's episode, it looks like it's going to be bananas.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I'm like, man, this is, you know, it's kind of crazy how they ended this episode.
I completely forgot that Dr. Stein had made a puppet of himself.
I had too. I didn't remember that.
Until I saw it and I was like, oh yeah, that was great. When I was watching it, I was like, it's going to be Bebo. He's going to possess one of the Bebo dolls. I thought for sure that's what it would be. I was 100% sure it would be Bebo. And I was really thrilled to see him murder his Bebo. And then when it was the puppet Dr. Stein, I was like, oh, I didn't remember you were a thing, but I'm into it. Okay.
Oh man, this was another great episode.
I like what we're getting. We got some hints at what the true conflict is going to be with Neron in this. And then, yeah, we just got more usual hijinks. The mustache thing with the Atom, that has to have been a dig at Justice League, right?
Yes.
That was great. That was so funny. Gentlemen, I must ask you to stop.
Now, the Mona and the Ape Man thing was kind of ridiculous, or kind of bordering on ridiculous. But I knew that was going to happen the way Gary is like, can you ask her for me?
I agree. It was really getting into some Twilight territory for me for a bit there. I was like, we're investing a lot of showtime on a character that we've just recently introduced to the show. That's all I'm saying. That's how I felt about that.
And I thought it was funny that Rory's three-breasted girlfriend was still showing up. he was mad when Ava took his book. Oh, man. Legends just continues to be a great, fun show.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to next week for their mid-season finale just because it looks completely bonkers. Like, it just looks like a ton of fun.
Yes. All right, well, let's move on to our next episode for this week. Flash, Season 5, Episode 8, What's Past is Prologue. Cletus, we called it. The Reverse Flash is behind Nora's return to the past. And I'm so freaking excited about it. What a great 100th episode of The Flash. I love the fact that Barry got to revisit key moments through his series. And that they needed to go back to be able to defeat Cicada.
Yeah, I very much enjoyed the episode. I loved the reveal of the Reverse Flash. That was cool. My only complaint was that I felt like Cicada should have been defeated in this episode. Everything was set up. They went through this whole journey. They get him defeated, and then he wins in the dumbest way possible. It took like a collective brain fart from the entire Flash team not to have won that fight.
Yes, I was actually yelling at the TV for Vibe to open up another portal to another Earth, so when the dagger came back down, he wouldn't get a hold of it.
Yeah, and we talked about that. And also, so that seems very easy to prevent, but also, who forgot the cuffs? Who forgot the power-dampening cuffs? That whole time, the Flash has super speed. He had literally an infinite amount of time to be able to, even if they forgot it, to run back to the lab, grab a pair of cuffs, cuff Cicada before that knife comes crashing down.
I know. They just all just stood there staring, waiting for the dagger to come back from space. I'm like, really? You have two speedsters there, too.
I think, and so that annoyed me, but then what really annoyed me was then their reaction ultimately to it was like, oh, well, at least we know that Killer Frost can help us. That'll work. It's like, what? You guys just went through this whole big deal. You had to go through this whole time travel thing, deal with these traumatic moments that you're reliving, and then it doesn't work. And you're like, ah, that's okay. Killer Frost will help us.
What's not
They
my
just
question...
kind of shrugged it off. I couldn't believe they just shrugged it off.
My question for you is, why didn't they just end the Cicada story here? We've got the reverse flashback as a villain now. Why do we need to keep Cicada around?
I think that was a mistake. I honestly think, personally, I think when the show writers look, we'll see. It could change depending on what we see in the second half of the season. I could be wrong. But right now, I would bet that the writers will look back at the end of the season and go, ah, we should have ended it right there. Because if you look at like what Arrow is doing, Arrow has clearly adapted the, and we've talked about it, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. method, which is two separate storylines. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. really improved as a show once they started doing that. And I think Arrow has learned from that. And it looked like Flash was doing the same thing too, but I'm not sure that they have now. I think we are going to be stuck with Cicada for the whole season, which is ridiculous. That he isn't. I don't think he should be a whole season villain.
I don't think so either.
Not at the, at least not at the rate that they've been going at. They have included him way too much for him to then be able to, for them to stretch him out for 14 more episodes. Come on.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's talk about this. Reverse Flash is back. We know that Eobard Thawne is behind Nora's trip to the past. We saw Sherlock was the first to suspect something was going on with Nora's diary. And we find out that she's been sending messages back to Reverse Flash. What do you think Reverse Flash is up to?
I think he's tricked her into thinking she can do something that prevents him disappearing in the future.
Interesting.
But what he's doing instead is causing... I think he is manipulating things so that whatever changes she makes helps him, but she thinks it's helping save Barry in the future. Where that, the event where Barry disappears, he doesn't disappear.
Now... we know this is the Harrison Wells version of the Flash. So, does that mean he makes it back to the future from the past? Because we saw him in Iron Heights. Well, it looked like the Iron Heights anyways in 2049.
Is it the version? Because remember, he was the Harrison Wells version in last year's crossover.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And is he in prison for that? Is that the result of his defeat? No, because he got let go. Because didn't Barry let him go?
Yeah, Barry let him go during the crisis on Earth X, remember?
I wonder if he's still stuck in that form for some reason. I obviously, we talked about this. He's probably in that form because they can't get the other actor, which is a shame.
Yeah.
I wonder how they're going to explain it story-wise that it's that version and not the Eobard Thawne version.
Yeah.
I will say I did like is that they finally have started referring to the season one Wells as Eobard. It drove me nuts. Remember, it used to drive me nuts in the couple of the previous seasons. They would still refer to him as Wells.
Yes.
I was like, it wasn't Wells. You know it wasn't Wells. Just like when they would continue to refer to Zoom as Jay, even though he was Hunter. It was like, come on. Like, as soon as you know what their real name is, why would you continue calling them by the person they were pretending to be?
Yeah, seriously.
So I did I appreciate it a lot that they are actually referring to him as Thawne, finally.
Okay, I want to go back to when Harrison Wells was about to explode or set off his device in the past. Did you think he noticed Barry and Nora going to the time vault?
Yeah, he absolutely did.
Yeah, but he couldn't get away to go in there.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that they showed him to make sure you knew that was the Reverse Flash by showing that little spark of electricity in his fingers.
Well, and then you get the set when they do actually accidentally run into him so that he can fix that device for them. He definitely knew who Nora was.
Yes! He knew who Nora was. I wanted to talk about that, too. And he definitely knew who Nora was. And you even see her, him wave at her when she's leaving. But he made a point of bringing up Dawn Allen. He mentioned Dawn Allen's name. And we know her from the comics. She's one of the twins. Dawn, wasn't it Dawn and Dawn Allen were the twins?
I think so. I can't remember what the guy's name was, to be honest with you.
I think his name was Don too, but it's the male version.
Yeah.
Do you think that somehow Reverse Flash changed the timeline and it created Nora instead of Don, and that the original timeline actually has Don in it?
Okay, so what I can't figure out is a couple things. There's a couple ways to interpret it. First off, when he says that her name is Nora, he says, at least you still have one. And I don't know if that was meant to imply, at least you still have a Nora because I killed your mom named Nora. Or is he referring to, at least you still have one in that you should have twins, but now you only have one kid?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering too.
Because I feel like it very easily could be interpreted either way. But then the second thing was, is that Dawn, I believe, is that just an Easter egg for people who know that his daughter traditionally is supposed to be named Dawn? Or is that an implication that something has changed and that's not really what her name should be?
Yeah, then that's what I was wondering. I was very curious if that was the reason. I'm so interested in exploring that because I could see Reverse Flash changing the timeline.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's sort of his whole thing, right?
Yeah. So
one thing I'm curious about, I read an interesting article and I'm not sure if I agree with it or not, but it was questioning, is Nora actually Barry's daughter?
I think so.
I know that she's passed. I know on the show she passed the DNA test and everything, but she's also, this article talks about how she also was able to fake on tests other things that were later proven to be not true, like the dark matter. And it was questioning whether she actually is Thawne's daughter.
If she is, I don't think she actively knows it.
Yeah.
I don't think she's playing a part, pretending to be Barry's daughter when she's not. If she is, she wouldn't know it. And I don't think that's true. I think it is Barry's daughter. I think Reverse Flash manipulated the timeline somehow. Or maybe he tricked Dawn Allen into manipulating the timeline where she became Nora. And the brother was lost. That's what I'm wondering.
I'm very, very curious by this whole Thawne storyline. It's so cool to me getting him back on the show because, like, he is the arch nemesis. And as great as he was in season one, it's hard to call Reverse Flash the arch nemesis if you really only see him one time.
Exactly. And we've been waiting forever for him to come back.
And it's perfect. I don't understand why they are keeping Cicada around. I'm hoping that he gets defeated in like episode like 12 or something like that. Because if they drag him to the end, there's no way that Reverse Flash storyline is given the attention that it deserves.
Yeah. And maybe Reverse Flash is using Cicada for some reason too. That was the other possibility I thought of. All right, well, let's move on to our next episode for this week. Black Lightning, Season 2, Episode 8, The Book of Rebellion, Chapter 1, Exodus. So, in this episode, it focuses on Jennifer and Khalil running away. And we're seeing Khalil try to escape Tobias's hold on him. And he goes to his aunt's house to hide out. But before they do that, Khalil makes one great mistake. He goes to the 100 and tries to collect money early from them. But Tobias has already warned them that Khalil had gone rogue and put a bounty on his head. And we get an awesome fight scene and an awesome use of Jennifer's powers.
This was a pretty good episode. The part that, when we get towards the end, so Tobias starts to hunt down Khalil, which is odd that we find out that Khalil has a tracker. Why did Tobias even go to talk to the mom? That seems so superfluous to me. But once they revealed that he had a tracker the whole time, I was like, what was the point of that? You knew that he wasn't there.
Yeah, that was, now that you mention it, yeah, that was kind of weird.
What was the point of that scene? It was almost like they filmed that scene and then decided later that they were going to have a tracker in Khalil. But then, I don't know, that was odd. So Black Lightning and Thunder come to save the day, and that's all really cool. I like the fight, even though that woman had an impossible number of knives on her. I'm just saying, there's just no way one person could be carrying that many knives and be able to move as freely as she was moving. But then she and Khalil just walk away from that. I was calling BS the whole time I was watching that scene. I was like, why would she still run at that point? First off, her dad is right there. Her dad's right there. And then Thunder's basically just standing there watching anyway, and she just lets them walk away and doesn't notice. Oh. The end of that episode frustrated me a little bit, because I was like, come on.
What I thought was interesting, when Tobias learns that Black Lightning and Thunder have turned up, he begins to ponder about their relationship to Jennifer.
Yes, that I found very intriguing, and I was like, oh my god, a smart villain? What?
I like the fact they've been portraying Tobias as smart.
Yeah. Oh no, I cannot tell you how big of a fan I was of him piecing things together with that. I was like, this is everything I've wanted for one of these shows, is for somebody to use logic for once to be like, wait, if this thing's the case, then that must mean.
So I don't think he's put it all together yet, but he's suspecting.
It is at least occurring to him. The idea is occurring to him, whereas it's still not occurred to Lena Luthor that maybe Kara Danvers isn't who she says she is.
But yeah, Black Lightning is very intriguing. And I think we're getting the mid-season finale of that next week, so it'll be interesting. Especially if Tobias does figure out Jefferson Pierce is Black Lightning. That could get really interesting.
I was also glad, one last thing, I was glad that we were mercifully spared only like 10 minutes of "you should have told us, but I was trying to protect you" angst. It's like a requirement of all of these shows to have somebody lie and then have everybody else confront them. Like, oh, but I was trying to protect you. But I was glad that that was only a minor part of this episode, and that Thunder and Gambit quickly moved on to much more important matters.
Yes, I am too.
My hope is that one day, maybe, we will just not do that scene at all. I mean, I'm not holding my breath, but maybe Batwoman's show that's supposed to be getting made, I'm crossing my fingers that maybe she won't lie to one of her friends, and then her friends will have a whole, you weren't trying to protect me, you were just lying.
Yes. We'll see what happens. All right, let's move on to our last episode for this week. Titans Season 1, Episode 8, Donna Troy. I thought it was interesting getting the flashback to Dick and Donna's first meeting. And I was bummed Wonder Woman was there talking to Batman and we didn't get to see it. But it was interesting, their little conversation between Dick and Donna, talking about his confrontation with Joker and that he was ready to hang up his cape.
I do like how firmly set in the DC universe this show is, but then it also, it's at odds with itself occasionally, because it seems to feel like it's trying to preserve the awe that that people encountering the Titans would have, but also it's a world where Wonder, like, the Justice League exists.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, is it, I know it's crazy, yes, to see a guy turn into a tiger, but is it like the most bananas thing you've ever seen in a world where Wonder Woman and Superman are running around?
Nope.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the only thing. I was like, man, it seems like the show is selective in people's reactions to it. It's a little bit like in the Marvel Netflix shows that are clearly set in the Avengers universe, and yet they're really surprised when, you know, Daredevil can do 3 backflips or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like it's a very similar conflict.
So, in this episode, we see Dick is confused with how to proceed with his life mission. And Donna Troy offers some advice, and of course she explains why she stopped being Wonder Girl.
She sort of does, and then it was not a very satisfactory answer, though. It definitely felt like I'm hoping something more going on with that, other than she just decided to become a reporter like every other super. Are there any non-superpowered reporters other than Lois Lane? This is another episode where, like, I'm enjoying the episode for sure, but I still am kind of, it feels somewhat directionless occasionally.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It does do that.
It's an I don't know how, I don't mean to say like I'm not in, I am enjoying the episode as I'm watching it. It is very well made and I am enjoying myself. And then once it's done, I kind of sit back and think about it. I'm like, well, what really did we accomplish with this? And every time it's always very little. Like we get a ton of story to make like 2 feet of progress.
Yeah, and next week's story is gonna focus on Hawk and Dove.
It's going to be a complete flashback episode for characters that haven't been in the show since episode 2. I am very curious to see that episode. This is what I'm talking about. I really want to see this flashback episode of Hawk and Dove. But it's so late into the season. Like, why wasn't this like episode 3?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's like we're putting a halt on the story to go back and show this for some reason. I'm sure it's going to have some sort of importance to the story. But, yeah, it does seem odd that we're getting it now.
And that's the thing. That's just sort of, it highlights my feelings on this show, which is that, like, I am enjoying it. I am intrigued. But also, like, there's little progress each episode.
It's like they're trying to delay them becoming the team.
But why, though? Like, it's just what I don't understand. It's like they're dragging their feet for no reason. I just don't understand. I don't know why. Like, why? Why do they have to finish an entire season before they can change the status quo? That's the nice thing with the format that they're going with, is that they're not beholden to... yes, they have a weekly schedule, but they had the entire thing filmed already. At least I think they did. They're not beholden to TV ratings or... you know, anything to do with that. They just can film the show as they want it. There's no reason to have to be so slow in the build-up.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not sure about that either. All right, well, that wraps up our show for this week. Do you have any shout-outs, Cletus?
So I thought this time I would shout out about a comic from Agent Liberty's character. I think this is fascinating. I will admit, I don't think I knew who this guy... I think I thought I knew who this guy was, and I think I was confusing him with a Marvel character, because I for sure never read a comic with this guy in it. So I went and looked up what some of his first comics were that he appeared in. He's a hero. Have we talked about this?
What was the guy's name?
Agent Liberty, the villain in Supergirl.
He was a hero?
He's a good guy. He was a good guy in the comics. Yeah. So this is also what I'm saying. This is why I was fascinated. This is my shout out, because I was like, what? So he was created in the 90s by Dan Jurgens, which I was like, okay, yes. I saw immediately. I was like, oh, this makes sense. And he first appeared as a Superman character initially working for the CIA, and eventually joined the Sons of Liberty. So it's not something that he created, like on the show. He joined this organization, but he was a good guy. I find that interesting. I will admit, somebody else probably knows more about him than I do, because he doesn't look like he really caught on that much as a character and was ultimately killed off in the early 2000s.
Why does it... Oh, sorry. Why, now that you're talking about it, now that you said he was a Superman character, it jogs my memory. Did he have a yellow mask?
Yes.
I remember him now. I didn't remember him until you started talking about him. I think I remember reading him in the Superman run.
Yeah, he popped up mainly in Superman. And he had the comic I'm going to shout out about. He got at least one issue that was his comic, and it was Agent Liberty Special number 1. So it's a comic entirely focused on him. So if you're curious on like reading a story where he's the hero, Agent of Liberty Special number 1. It came out in January 1992.
Did he have...
mainly was in Superman.
Did he have a flag shield?
That I can't tell you.
I can't.
I honestly don't know.
I don't know. That kind of popped in my head. I think I remember him, though. Vaguely.
He definitely has a yellow mask, though. Yeah.
Interesting. I'm definitely sort of remember him. If you'd like to comment on anything we've talked about, you can call our feedback line at 317-564-9133, or you can email us at earthstationdcu@gmail.com. Coming up next week, we're going to be talking The Adventures of the Super Sons, Batman number 60, Justice League, Doomsday Clock, which we haven't visited for quite a while, The Green Lantern, Martian Manhunter number 1, and Shazam number 1. So we got some new titles starting up. Also, we'll be talking mid-season finales of Legends of Tomorrow, Black Lightning, and the next episode of Titans. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Time to go.
You sure this is necessary?
The Guardians of the Universe seem to think so.
How long will you be gone? But we will be back, little brother.
I wish I could go with.
I doubt your mother would approve.
I'll miss you.
Perhaps you could water the plants in my apartment while I am gone.
Be careful, all right?
May the gods be with you all.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.